Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. Here we are today to discuss Season 3, Episode 2, The Thruple. And of course, as always, I am joined by someone whose favorite season is awards. Stuart, how are you?
I'm really good. I would be absolutely glee-ridden if you would have lunch with me. But this episode was good. I liked it.
It's a really fun one, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, going into this, what with knowing the episode title, I was expecting some mess, some drama, and we got it. And it's dealt with, and like a neat bow on top and stuff. This is mm-hmm. a good episode. It's nice, self-contained.
Yes. This is the way that they should have always handled the David and Stevie stuff, right? Where it's like, we're not going there. And like, that's it. That's done. And we get some like odd couple pairings, which are really fun, like Johnny and Twyla, and then Alexis and Moira. It's a really fun episode. Like, it does it move the plot forward in anything? Not really. Mm. But like, who cares?
Yeah. It's the thing. It's just you're selling into a new season, and you're going to have episodes like this, which are kind of self-contained, just little throwaway ones that are good for a laugh. And I love the fact, like you said, like the weird pairings that we get here. Like, one that is acknowledged, what with Moira and Alexis, but then the Johnny and Twyla, that was just so precious. I kind of loved it.
Well, especially when you know that they're like real-life father-daughter. I think that like enhances it, just because it makes it that much funnier for me. I don't know. I love it. I love that, like, Johnny gets to, he's been a little depressed, right? Without having work, it's really struggling to start something up. And I think there is something really, I don't know, healing is the word, but like, to put in a good solid day's work and be like really exhausted at the end of it, mm-hmm. it must feel good for him. And especially when he's like, he is paying Twyla back in a certain way for like the trouble he's given her over the however long they've been in Schitt's Creek.
Oh yeah, the Roses certainly haven't been the best customers at times. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we even saw it last week, what with the weird requests of like a big fish, a lukewarm hollandaise. It's like, Twyla's had to deal with some real crap from this family. So Johnny is paying it back, and perhaps not paying it all back, as mentioned. So still a long way to go in that sense. But it's, I think, like you said, the fact that Johnny is there, like having put in a good day's work and feeling useful, I think is a key thing here. Like, it's going to really help him. And like, because last week was really sad. Like, as funny as the whole him being drunk was, him not feeling useful and kind of feeling as if he's letting the family down, it's really not a nice thing to kind of, or a character you love to kind of experience. So to see him feel appreciated and feel as if he is kind of maybe not essential, but at least in today being useful is really good.
Yeah, he was needed for something, which is nice. So let's do a little bit of an episode recap, and then we'll dive into our thoughts on everything. Where to even begin with this episode? David and Stevie are still both dating Jake, and it is so freaking awkward because of Jake's truly horrendous communication skills. Stevie thinks Jake is going to break up with David, when in fact, he wants to form a thruple between the three of them. And when they decline, he quote-unquote takes a step back. Which, sir, you should have just asked. I don't think you can beat around the bush with thruples. You need to just come out and say it. Johnny finally gets a job, sort of. Twyla's injured, so Johnny gets roped into helping her out for the day, which proves more difficult than he imagined. And it's a shame he didn't memorize the like massive menu before he started that job. You know, no wonder he messed up what a combo and a big combo and a small combo are. Alexis and Moira have a mother-daughter lunch date, which gets off to a rocky start when Moira gets caught with her pre-planned discussion topics to speak to her own daughter. They clear the air and have a lovely little bonding moment. And that was our episode, Stuart.
A lot, again, happened despite, like, plot not moving forward. We still got, like, four good, like, kind of real plots there to follow. Mm-hmm. Which, again, is talking about them kind of cramming in the story and not really kind of wasting time. We're not really sleeping on anything anymore. And that kind of, not lethargy that we kind of like, but a certain sluggishness that was felt in previous seasons. Gone away, it seems, in this. So yeah, it was a lot to kind of cover. I feel like the whole Johnny and Twyla thing was so endearing to the pair of them in a way, because I just love the fact that, like, Johnny was thrown into a situation, was judged by it, like with Alexis even going like ew when she saw him in the role and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. this for him is a step down in a way. Like, he is still kind of thought of himself as like Johnny the business guy that's gonna kind of do business things. So for him to wait tables for him is a step down. So maybe it's kind of good for him. Maybe it's good for him to like eat some humble pie in a way and kind of
certainly
a regular working person.
And I love that he always seems to be guilted into these sorts of things where he's like, yet again, his quote unquote bad back comes up when he's like hesitant to help out. He's like, oh, I want some eggs for helping out. And then he ends up getting like a steak sandwich. But I mean, watching Twyla struggle, was he really going to be able to sit there and just watch her struggle all day? Like, do they not have any other wait staff that can help out? This was so brutal for Twyla to, like, imagine her having to do that all day on like a bad leg. That would be tough.
Yeah, like, is, you say that it isn't their cover though, it's Schitt's Creek. Who are they gonna call in? Like, who is available in this town other than Johnny?
Someone else. There has to be. Yeah, it's sad. The only thing I will say is, and I love Twyla. We know I love Twyla. I'm like, she gets a little frustrated with Johnny for messing up the whole combo thing. And I'm like, girl, your menu is so freaking huge. And he's doing you a service and not really asking to be paid. So I don't know that you really have the room to complain all that much. Mm-hmm. Although I will say it is on Johnny for telling someone that the fish was a little too fishy. You can't talk badly about the food that is being made at the restaurant where you are a temporary wait staff.
Yeah, like, have some loyalty. Like, whether you're there for like 5 minutes or 5 years, like, have some loyalty, Johnny. I wondered, like, with the menus, are they that big because the text is massive to cater for like older audiences? Or is there so much on them that they,
I like, think hate? It's the latter, because now we've had this discussion certainly before, and probably even on this podcast, about diners and like diners in the United States, and specifically in like New York and New Jersey. I feel like there's like a lot of diners, and the thing with a diner is the menus are always huge, and not necessarily physically huge. Like, usually, you know, the actual menu itself is a little smaller. It's just there's like half a dozen pages. So the it's like, yeah, it'd be hard to memorize any menu like this, especially when most diners serve breakfast all day. So you really can order anything. And I just don't, I mean, let me just say right out the gate, though, I would never order fish at a diner. Just, it wouldn't happen. It just doesn't seem like a good idea. Like, a safe bet is usually, if you're going for like breakfast, you can kind of get anything. If you're doing like a lunch, usually some sort of like sandwich or wrap is probably like a good move. I'm not ordering like a meatloaf at a diner. I'm not ordering a fish. You know, it's like, I'm not ordering a steak. Go to a steakhouse if you want a steak. Don't go to a diner if you want a steak, you know?
I mean, like, I feel like if you don't order breakfast at a diner, it's wrong. I don't know. There might be a hot take, what with me not actually having diners over here. But I just always have the impression that people only go there to eat breakfasty things. Like, if you're not having eggs, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Eggs Benny. Usually I will always order Eggs Benny at a diner, although there is this one diner that while they'll have, you can have breakfast all day long, you can't have Eggs Benny at a certain point in the day. And I don't know why that is. That's just a rule they have. I'm a big fan of breakfast foods, so I'm with you. Some people just like wraps and stuff, I guess. But so Johnny helps out, and I love their interaction at the end of everything, where she goes to give him half of the tips they got, and he's like, no, I couldn't. And he realizes, like, I've been a terrible customer, and I probably should be tipping more. So maybe you should keep the money, Twyla. It's like very, very kind, but also funny, because they're both kind of laughing, but you know that he's been like not a great customer.
Yeah, like they've been there so often as well. Like, you saw when his tab had been built up, and like he gave a wad of those, and it was almost like, I don't think that was from day one either. So like they'd built up a sufficient amount of like kind of receipts, which makes me think that they're in there all the time. So they should show the place with respect. They should kind of, they should give people respect anyway for the fact that it's service. Like, be nice to service people. Like, they do so much crap. And to not have that kind of realization is a bit shameful for Johnny. He should be aware of this already. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to see him kind of face up to it, at least, and acknowledge that. Like, it'd be one thing for him to go, yeah, people can be awful, and then not to just admit that he's probably been one of them. Yeah. I think I would have really been down on Johnny if that had been the case.
Yeah. But the most unbelievable part of this entire storyline is the fact that there are people who went to Cafe Tropical that aren't regulars. Like, that these randos just walk in and are like, wait, what's the combo? What's the small combo? What's the bit? Who are you? You don't live here. I've never seen you before. Mm-hmm. You're not Ronnie or Bob or like, who are you? These people, they can leave.
Yeah. I mean, absolute random. So what do you mean you don't know what a full combo, or you don't know the full combo doesn't exist? It's a combo. Get it right.
And this is a classic, like Panera does, like the you pick two, where you get like half a sandwich and a salad. Like, this is a very, you don't usually get whole things of both of them. Otherwise, that's not a deal.
Otherwise, you'd be getting a sandwich and a soup.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy, he could leave. I wouldn't have cared if they threw him out.
Do you have meal deals over there?
That's like a very generic term. I would say yes. Like, there are places that have like combo deals. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is, over here we've got a lunch culture over here of meal deals, because we don't particularly like, at least in like kind of London, there's not a thing of, well, there is, you go out for lunch occasionally and stuff. But if you're going for a quick lunch, you'll nip into like a small little supermarket and you'll grab what's a meal deal, which is always the same thing. It's like sandwich, crisps, and a drink. And it's like super cheap and stuff. But the sandwiches are dreadful. And for some reason, we have a culture here in the UK of just loving meal deals. Like, everyone seems really complimentary. And it's the one thing that makes me think that I don't gel here, because I just don't get it. I don't get what the fascination is.
But why is the sandwich so bad? Like, what's that?
They're the crappiest sandwiches. Like, we get like a BLT, and like, you see like these amazing BLTs you'll see in sandwiches, where like the bacon's really thick and you get loads of like lettuce and fresh tomato and stuff. Instead, it's the saddest, wiltiest, soggy like salad.
Got it.
Between dry bread. Ugh, I hate it so much.
Yeah, we definitely have that. I mean, obviously the ones that come to mind for me are more of like the chains. So like Subway does like a thing where it's like, oh, you get the sub, you get the a bag of chips and a soda or something.
Yeah.
Usually. And their bacon is not, it's not bacon. Okay. I'm sorry. It's not bacon. I'm sure a lot of places have stuff like that around here though. Like, it's very common that if you're going to get a sandwich someplace, they're also going to have chips and a drink as like some sort of a meal deal, if you will. But yeah, we have good sandwiches here. I don't know. I'm a big fan of a deli sandwich. Granted, again, I live in New York State. I think we've perfected the deli. We know what we're doing in that regard. But
a deli sandwich, like 90% of it is like the filling, right? Like, I always see these American sandwiches where,
yes,
like, it's like huge, like
we're Americans. Wedges of meat. Yes, it's a lot of meat.
it's like the polar opposite. If you got a sandwich over here, you'd be lucky to get like three measly little slivers of bacon.
Someone needs to teach you guys how to do sandwiches, because like, yeah. Especially, do you have like an Italian mix? Is that a thing over there?
I will say, not particularly that I'm aware of. I mean, we do have independent sandwich places. Like, I am talking about the dregs of supermarkets that here, and like,
no, I know, comparing but like, to like, if I'm going to go to like a sandwich place and get a sandwich, it's probably going to be an Italian mix, which is usually like some sort of combination of like ham, salami, pepperoni, capicola, like those sorts of meats. And then usually a provolone cheese, you got your lettuce, tomato. Some people like onion. I do not. And then usually like oil and vinegar.
Sometimes four pickles. Different meats and cheese and other things.
Yes. That's
decadent.
Yeah. I mean,
in this economy,
you could even go low budget and go to like have you been to a Subway? Do they have Subways over there?
I had Subway last week, actually.
Well, that's the same concept, unless your Subway is different. Like, you go down the line and you say, I want the lettuce, the tomato, the olives, the pickles. Like, I want all stuff on it.
All the salads. You like just bungle that and you get as much of that as you like. But yeah. What's your Subway? I realize we are going way off here. What's your Subway?
What's my Subway order?
Yeah.
Probably the thing called an Italian BNT, which is essentially an Italian mix.
Always meatballs.
Always meatballs. I do like a meatball sub. The problem with a meatball sub, though, is they're just like so messy that like I have to be in the mood to want to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
Because something that's strange about me that I don't think people would assume if they just met me is I really don't like when my hands get like messy. Like, I don't like things that make my hands sticky. Like, I immediately have to wash them. And which you wouldn't think, because I can be kind of a messy person and just generally look a little messy. And so things like that annoy me, because like you bite one end and then a meatball pops out the back end and you're like, Jesus Christ, I'm just trying to eat myself here.
That's part of it. You get a challenge with your meal.
Just like, I don't want a challenge. It's
like trying to eat a Rubik's Cube of a meal.
It's true. Okay, let's talk about...
I was going to say, Johnny should be nicer to Twyla and should certainly give all of the tips to her, and should tip her more anyway, even though tipping is a really flawed concept. But tip, if you're in the position where you need to,
if you're in a country that does rely on tips for their wages, tip. Let's talk about the throuple, because I want to save Alexis and Moira for last.
Mm-hmm.
Jake sucks, all right?
Yeah.
Like, it is not clear at all. Like, it would have been more understandable if he said something and Stevie just mistook what he said or misunderstood. There was no way she was to assume. There was no, like, consent check. There was no, hey, I like you, I like David, why don't we just bloop everything together? Mm-hmm. There was none of that. None of that. Jake sucks. Like, this is terrible communication.
Yeah, I have in my notes for this episode, all caps, Jake is the worst communicator. Like, he is fundamentally just awful at this. He's just making so many assumptions about really delicate and complex things. Why would you assume that because they have previously been together, that they would want to when they're not all like doing that at the moment?
Like, surely you would have a logic there.
Yeah, like, he acknowledges it. He's like, at the end, he's like, yeah, you two have had a thing, so why don't
we
put this all together? And I'm there going, okay, you know that they have had a thing in the past, so where's the logic here of why they are not doing it now? He is a dumbass. This is why you can't date pretty people, because they're stupid.
Yeah, he's kind of like Mutt. Like, he's just a sucky communicator. He's just like all shine and no substance. Just like, yeah, he probably has good abs and he probably could like build you a desk or something. But like, what else is there? There's not a ton else. And I think the best part about this storyline, because like Jake isn't the best part of the storyline, right? The best part of this is like the Stevie and David of it all, where Stevie is trying to warn David without actually warning him properly, and then simultaneously she like goes to the diner or goes to the cafe to meet with Jake, and when David finds out, like, you were gonna date him after he dumped me? Like, it's so funny because he acknowledges that he would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm so happy, Stuart, that we are back to the David and Stevie that we've seen earlier. Like, I've been missing this friendship.
Yeah, like, getting them back on the, like, Stevie just being like, nah, like, that whole vibe was just, I loved it because it was just this, she knows he's like, she knows he knows that she's lying, like, mm-hmm. and, but she just plays into it because they have this weird playful dynamic where it is always a case of one-upping each other and not really admitting that one's in the wrong. Like, it's always a, almost like a pecking order thing going on between them, but it's playful in nature. And I love the way in which they know that dynamic. And like, David is there, like, kind of, and she is boldly lying to his face. And he's given the classic gif of just, mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, she doesn't even try. She's just like, he's like, you were going to go on a date with him. She's like, no, I wasn't. But you showed up for the date. No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. And it's perfect because of the fact that he wasn't going to break up with one of them. So it didn't put one of them on a better yeah. playing field. You know what I mean? Neither one of them was above the other. They're both kind of like embarrassed. And so it's just, it's perfect. And I love David admitting that he would have done the same thing. I'm so happy to have these two just back to their friendship because it feels like we've been missing this for quite a little while now. Like, season two was very Stevie light. And so mm-hmm. to get the friendship back on track and kind of really put to rest any idea of them ever dating, which to me is marvelously done in this sort of storyline where the show is basically saying to us, they're not going to date. We promise. Like, they have no interest yeah. in dating at this point. So you're fine. I really loved it. And then of course you add in Johnny being their waiter and everything is just incredible in these.
Oh, when he turns up at the end, I was just like, I didn't laugh or applaud. I kind of just went, brilliant. Just brilliant. Just yeah. if it was to go anywhere, this is what I wouldn't want it to be. And Johnny just asking, will you be dining this evening or taking turns? I'm like, what is this?
It's awful. It's awful. Oh. Especially like, is it like the first scene when David walks out and Jake is there? And I love how many times he's like, you guys can keep walking and they don't. They just stay yeah. and watch the car crash in front of them. And mm. it's just like Alexa's like, oh, David, it's so awkward.
Yeah. Like, she is, it's so funny that she is both disgusted and quite empathetic towards him because she's like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Like, oh.
Yeah. But, and I love she has to twist the knife and be like, I've been in this situation, but I'm usually the Stevie. So, like, I don't know what yeah. it's like to be on your side of things.
Yeah. Because they're so completely good. Setting up this whole thing of like David being the number three in the throuple. And being mm-hmm. like kind of the one on the outs kind of thing. Moira, hilarious though, being like, he could at least offer us a ride.
It's so good. It's so ridiculous and funny.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We had to talk about like two very small scenes in Alexis a cardinal sin, in my opinion. Truly, this is something everyone should know about me. If you eat my leftovers, you are dead to me. It is unacceptable unless you get express permission. Unless you ask me, hey, like, I see you haven't touched those leftovers in like 2 days. Is it cool if I eat them? Yes, of course, by all means. Alexa, and what's worse is Alexis not just eats David's leftovers, eats the cake and leaves the frosting. What kind of serial killer behavior is that? I don't understand this. First of all, the frosting is the best part. Second of all, who just wants dry leftover cake without the frosting? Third of all, that wasn't yours. It was in like a swan tinfoil thing. what's wrong with you? I was so upset with Alexis, and I love Alexis, and I was really upset.
It was kind of outrageous. I thought if you're going to have anyone eating anything, that you would leave, like, eat the icing. I'd be that kind of like naughty kid, just like taking the,
or just like a little, you know, a little bit of
solid sugar. Nah, yeah. All of it, you know, like take the lot. But like, they seem to be doing this, the pair of them. Like, they're trying to like just constantly eat each other's food. Like, wasn't there a whole yogurt situation?
There's a yogurt, yeah.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Like, the two of them just can't, like, kind of, it's siblings being siblings is what it is completely.
I was so mad. I was so mad for David. I love it. What kind of barnyard were you raised in where you eat someone else's food? And you could share a boyfriend, but you can't share a piece of cake.
That's a great comeback.
I was so mad at this. The other minor, tiny, teeny, tiny thing I had to bring up is, did you recognize the woman that offers to help Twyla before Johnny jumps in to help her at the diner?
The one whose cat died?
Doris. Yes.
I thought it was, but I wasn't entirely sure.
Mm-hmm. I was just so happy to see her again because I loved her. So Doris.
Wait, I'm just trying to think back. Was she with someone at the table, or was she on their own?
She was alone. She was alone. It would have been better if she was there with the guy, though. I forget his name.
Yeah. If it had worked out with a neighbor, that that would have been really good, actually, that detail. I wonder if anything we'll see her again. The recurring extra.
Yeah. But let's stay in the cafe because we have to talk about Alexis and Moira's mother-daughter lunch date. This is so funny. I love this entire idea. I think anybody who is who has a sibling, at least one sibling, probably often feels this way, that like, oh, you're the favorite. No, you're the favorite, right? Like, everyone has had that vibe at one point in their life. And I love that it's pretty much confirmed that like Moira's favorite is David.
Yeah. I mean, she confirms it when they breach it. They like kind of broach it at the beginning. It's so obvious that it's David.
Yeah.
He doesn't even see Alexis in the room. I would feel bad had it not been that like Moira came back with, well, you just never want to spend time with me. And it's the two of them. Again, bad communication on both parts.
It's to the point, and I love that as well, where it was like, well, the reason Alexis didn't want to hang out with Moira was because when she was much younger, you know, Moira would get approached by fans, and Alexis didn't really view it as like mother-daughter time. And I love her pushing back on the throngs of fans that would approach Moira. But yeah, it's very sweet, and I love that in the midst of all the hilarity and the, you know, the note cards on what to speak about, we do get like a very genuinely sweet moment between the two of them of like, I'm sorry that you felt that way, that like, I didn't want to hang out with you, because that's not true. But I love that it took this whole thing to get there, where Moira doesn't even want to go to lunch with her. She's like, oh, Ronnie, if you could, maybe we can push your table up against ours to make it less awkward.
And she's like talking about how she can like pad out the thing. It's like, oh, normally talking about the food, like that will eat up some time. And
it's like,
but the two of them are doing the exact same thing, like with Alexis going to Ted and being like, so you don't need me to work through lunch, which is the most un-Alexis thing ever. Like, she really wanted to get out of that lunch if she was offering to work for it.
Ted is just the sweetest, where he is like, oh, sometimes I have lunch with my mom, and then you know what, it just bleeds right into dinner because we get carried away chatting. It's like the most Ted thing
at
ever.
At least once a week. I'm lucky if I speak to my mom every like once a week.
I will say I generally see my mother at least every other week, and I talk to her on the phone at least once a week, so maybe I'm more of a Ted. I'm certainly more of a Ted.
I think I'm just not my mom's favorite.
That's the problem. I am my mom's favorite. She claims not to have a favorite, but like, is it really a competition? I don't think so.
Wow.
I'm just saying. And yeah, I love the note card thing. Is probably my favorite thing from this episode. Moira, a trained actor, can't remember a few very simple questions.
She's got so many questions. That's the problem, Jess. She needs to write them down so that she like can condense her thoughts.
How are working at the animal hospital? And your daily exercise routine.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions is really, really, really a really great question to stimulate conversation, have a lot of back and forth. What's your favorite color? Of all the questions to ask.
I know. I can't. I was trying to think of like how I could stick up for Moira a bit more here, but no, Moira's just tragic when it comes
to
this.
It's really bad.
It's like, and it's been going on for so long. Like, she doesn't know Alexis's middle name. Like, there's always been this weird divide between the two. Like, the whole when Alexis got sick and that whole reaction, I'm like, that we'd maybe made some progress there. But I think there will always be this divide. It's just the relationship they don't have. I like the fact that Alexis doesn't necessarily pine for it. Like, it's not as if she feels aggrieved too much. It's like, it's almost like, well, that's the way it is. But then when it's pointed out, she's going to be like, but no, you do prefer David over me. Like, it's just that she is going to make that point. Because at the beginning where she just comes in and just asks David, like, as if it's the most casual thing, it's just lunch. And he goes, no. And she goes, oh, I'm really disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, must happen all the time. Like, it just came so naturally.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, Alexis is just like, this is just the way it is. And I've come to accept that my mother prefers David over me. And then when she gets, you know, brought into this lunch, she's like really dreading it because of how awkward it's going to be and how like they don't have a ton in common. I think we've established on this podcast that like they certainly have more in common than they think. I think Alexis has just always been able to garner attention and favor outside of her family. And so now without that, right, she really doesn't have throngs of adoring fans around her as much anymore. And so she is kind of left with her family. And I love them being very genuine with each other after kind of getting over the initial awkwardness. And Alexis saying, I never meant you to feel that way, to feel like I didn't want to spend time with you. And I loved Moira saying, I hope it's not too late to make up for lost time. Like, I think that was really sweet, and I think that is something that proves that Moira has grown, because season one Moira is not saying that. And then, of course, we get back to the silliness of what's your favorite season awards.
Such a great question, and such a great answer. Like, the most Moira answer as well.
Yeah. Also, I have to just say, it's wild to me that, because Alexis works at the vet, right? She's in her scrubs and everything. She must go to the hotel, motel, change. She gets super dolled up.
Glammed up. Like, she redoes her makeup and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to go back to the cafe. Wild.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that she's not taking an extended lunch break and Ted is maybe just looking the other way.
I mean, the lunch itself alone is going to be, we've heard Twyla broke her leg. It's going to be a longer wait than usual. So give me an hour for that lunch. Tack on another 30 minutes for the amount of time it's taken her to get ready for the lunch. There's no way she's showing back up to work that day. She's just leaving. She's like, that's a wash. I'm just going to go home.
Yeah, maybe they save some time, what with not getting this dressing on the side and getting it on the salad, just like everyone else.
Johnny is such a douche.
I kind of had to give him props for that. Like, if he's going to talk back to any customers, talk back to his family. Like,
sure,
I think
but like,
the only
you'll have
to
this,
get away with.
You'll have the dressing on the salad like everyone else. Okay, maybe this is another question. Do your salads in the UK come with the dressing on it or on the side?
Depends on how you request it. Like, usually if you don't say anything, they'll come on the dress on the salad. But like, if you ask for it on the side, they'll give it to you on the side probably.
Every restaurant I've ever been to gives you the dressing on the side. Like, I can't think of an instance where it's on the salad, and I never specifically request it. It always just comes that way. Cause like, I feel like there's a world where some people like only a little bit of dressing, or some people like that you don't want to douse their entire salad in dressing. I think you need to have the option.
Depends on the level of restaurant, I guess. Like, if you're going to a restaurant where the chef is like, I know best, they will have it.
Okay,
as
I don't go to many
it.
Upscale restaurants, Stuart. You got me.
I will say, of the like the few 3-star restaurants I've had the privilege to go to, they didn't give me the dressing on the side. I'll just say that.
Maybe I just need to go to higher class restaurants. I think that's the answer. Yes.
Just like all my 3-star restaurants.
So fancy I've been over to there. In my life.
It's like the things I was like, oftentimes I have cited this because like we spent a fair amount of money to go to them. And like we did it as a trip. Literal day trip. We flew over to Copenhagen, went to the restaurant and flew back. It was ridiculous.
Wait, is this that one that everyone talks about? What's the name of it? Nouveau?
Noma in Copenhagen, yeah.
Totally the same thing on, I said, yes.
One that was featured on the bear,
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
sure. But yeah, we did that and it is, everyone says to me like, why did you spend so much money? Because it was ridiculous amount of money. And I have continually said that it is an anecdote that I dine out on more than any holiday I will ever go on in my life. And plus, it tasted so freaking good.
Well, it's worth it. Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You're paying for an experience.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Certainly is not something that I do on the daily. Jesus.
Anything else that we missed from this episode that we need to chat about before we get into feedback?
Just the bit where Moira was chatting with Ronnie when they were actually doing town council work. It was nice to see actual work getting done. And by work, I mean Moira just being astounded that apparently it's what geese do doesn't seem to suffice to explain why I'm imagining they're complaining about geese shit at being everywhere.
It's goose poop. It's certainly goose poop because I will tell you, goose poop like everywhere. They're little jerks about it too. So up at experience, up at my parents' camp, it's on a lake, and these geese, there's a ton of them. There's like 15 geese that all just hang out, and they just make noises at no one. And they just, I swear, they come in the dead of the night. They wait until it's dark, and they sneak up onto the land, and they shit everywhere. And then they go back in the water, and they're like, wasn't us. It's always them.
I love the idea that they're just secretly sneaking around just to shit everywhere.
They do.
Completely missed that from the annoying goose game. But I won't lie, for a moment I thought you were referring to your dog.
My dog, my dog's name is Goose. And it is kind of funny when he eats goose poop, because it's Goose is eating goose poop, you know? It's like, it's not his own poop.
He eats goose poop?
Dogs eat goose poop. Yeah, you have to stop them, but they do try to eat it. They're dogs, Stuart. Do I need to remind that? Like, they'll eat rabbit poop.
Like, they'll eat rabbit poop, but they won't.
No, they will. Yeah. Haven't you ever heard of like people that have both a cat and a dog? The dog is always trying to get in the litter box and eat the cat turds.
No, I've had several dogs that we've never had the issue of them eating shit.
Never.
Never.
What kind of dogs have you had?
What kind of dogs are you raising?
What are you raised in a barnyard? Every dog I've ever met loves cat poop, loves goose poop.
Rolling in it, but eating
that
it.
That too, yeah. Both.
Oh, that's foul.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, dogs are gross, man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but yeah, one of my dog's names is Goose. And we had a very funny moment where all the geese were like flying and making noises and he was like looking at them and I'm like, oh, he connects with them.
He's like, I feel a kindred spirit with them.
Yeah. But no, I did love the Ronnie moment where she's like, oh, do you want to go to lunch? And she's just like, oh, wait, I don't think I can. She's like, I didn't think it was going to be a tough decision. Like, I just want to go to lunch, Moira. Like, we don't need to do this.
And Ronnie being the practical one is like, yeah, we need to go early because Twyla's broke their leg. Like, Ronnie's just in the know. Ronnie gets shit's crazy. She understands everything.
Yeah, she's like, it's gonna be a while, so we gotta go early. I don't want to waste all day here. Ronnie's the best. I love Ronnie.
Yeah,
let's get into some feedback here. We got a question from my husband. Is Jake better or worse than Mutt?
Oh, this is such a question. Because here's the thing, like, we've had 2 and a bit episodes of Jake. So it feels maybe a little too early to like kind of judge. But I think in these 2 and a bit episodes, we've seen all of the worst things that we need to see, which is just terrible communications, assumptions. I don't think he's necessarily doing it out of malice, though. But then saying that, I don't think Mutt was doing anything out of malice either. I think maybe they're on a par.
No, they're so similar in that they're both terrible communicators. And it's hard because we got to see more of Mutt in terms of like his thoughtfulness, right? He gets Alexis the bike. Like, there are thoughtful moments from Mutt. I don't know that there are thoughtful moments from Jake. He's more like a, he's more just like a casual guy. But by proxy, I think that's, you're more likely to hurt someone when you're so flippant and casual about things in the way Jake is, because you're just, probably Jake is worse, but I just hate Mutt so much. I don't, he's just so boring. Jake is at least like interesting in that he wants to thruple.
And maybe he's just interesting because it's like new and fresh. I think after a while, the shtick of that and him being a new character will go. And I think it will wear out very quickly. Whereas at least Mutt has a connection to the town. There's some history with him and Alexis doing the community service. The Twiler of it all. The fact that we get to mock him for Tallahassee and going.
Yeah.
Pining.
Pining. Yeah, I got to tackle the cones.
Tackling the cones.
Yeah. Jake's probably worse. But, you know.
Bold. I didn't think we'd get to that point in this conversation.
Maybe it's because he's gone that I'm just so happy. I'm like, he's pining. We got feedback from Aaron. I said last week that Jake gives me the ick, and this week I remember why. He holds all the power in the relationships, and the dynamic is just so gross to me. More power to all of them if Stevie and David actually felt good and empowered about the situation, but they don't, and it's all just off. Send Jake to the pine cones with Tallahassee and Mutt.
Now that's an idea. Like, that's get him to join them. Thruple up with them.
Yeah.
Like, they can be awful communicators together.
Tallahassee is so down for that. She's just like, oh yeah, I'd love to like thruple. Like, everyone's cool, everyone's chill. We can just, whenever you want anything, you just ask your other partner. You get two partners. Like, she's so hippy dippy. She loves this.
Yeah, maybe an occasional plan. She likes to plan now and then. But like,
oh, fair. She did get a little jealous of Alexis, so I don't know how she would feel. But both their attention would probably be on her, though.
Is that because it's another girl? Like, I don't know. Would she be more open to another guy? I don't know. I mean, this is the complexity with thruples. Like, people do have preferences at times. Can swing in a multitude of different ways.
So what Alexis said, like, you, there's always going to be someone who's left out because there's three of you. Maybe the perfect thruple is actually a quadrangle.
A quadrangle?
No one will feel left out. Isn't a quadrangle four sides?
I don't know. I've been watching too much Dimension 20 and all I'm hearing is quangle. I'm like, that's a made up word.
I could have just said square. I don't know why I said quadrangle, because that's not like the word angle is couple. Quadruple. Is that a thing?
Like four people together.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly. That could be fun.
Quadruple.
Nice. Quadruple. I don't know what numbers get into this. If anyone knows, please write in with your feedback.
Quad,
we always appreciate
four, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Math. Must be. Who knows?
Maths.
Yeah. You didn't go to school for everything,
math.
Little
maths. No. Can we bring up that someone, I believe in the now defunct Posture Recaps Discord, it's kind of defunct. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that someone referenced us being Katya and Trixie. I'm scrolling back. This is from Trish, who says, you two are giving off very strong Trixie and Katya because it's our show and not yours.
Yeah.
And then we had to decide who was who, and it took 2 seconds to decide that I was definitely Katya because I cannot do math.
I mean, if that is the reasoning, sure thing. I'll be a makeup, business person and just make shed tons of money.
There you go.
Grand. Yeah. So
you're
down
definitely
for that.
More Trixie anyway. Cause
really?
Yeah, because Katya's a freaking weirdo. And I feel like I connect with that energy big time.
I mean, I'll take not being a weirdo. Probably the first time someone would have said that in my life.
So I did have to reference that because it made me very happy when I saw it.
So good.
Let's do our ratings. Stuart, who is simply the best this episode?
Oh, dear. Again, it's another one where no one really stands out as being particularly great. Like, I don't think anyone had any major achievements. I kind of am leaning towards David Stevie for, like, recognizing their not worth, maybe, I don't know, recognizing that they weren't up for something and articulating that, and but going about it in a bad way. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to lean towards Johnny for actually helping out, although he did get really strong-armed and shamed into it. Gosh. You know what? I'm going to go real left field. I'm going to give it to Ted. Because Ted was a little bit encouraging today and gave like Alexis the time off and didn't let her get out of the lunch, which I think is a good thing because yeah, she needed to go to the lunch. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. In a roundabout way, I'm going to give it to Ted. I don't know. Maybe it's a bit undeserved. Maybe it's a bit too small, but again, as we've established, we're Trixie and Katya. This is our show, not yours.
Yeah, we're allowed to do what we want. I'm going to give Johnny my Simply the Best.
Interesting.
Even though he was kind of strong-armed into it, he certainly didn't have to stay all day. Like, he worked a full shift, not knowing really anything. He has a bad back. Like, he really did help out Twyla in a big way. And I think he tried his best. Like, by the end of it, he has the apron on. Like, he's ready to go. I wanted to give him credit because I do think he deserves credit this episode for like spending a really long, hard day working, and he didn't have to do it and he did it. And he also gave Twyla all the tips, which again, he also didn't have to do. Yeah. So good for Johnny. Johnny gets a point from me. I've been really hard on him the first two seasons. So
yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, he's earned some goodwill from us. Yeah. Disgruntled Pelican time. I mean,
we say it together.
Yeah, it's Jake. It's Jake. Who else would it be? He sucks. He's terrible. Yeah. He's diet mutt. Like, no one wants this. No one needs this. He's store brand mutt. He's just terrible. Like,
we've got mutt at home.
We do have mutt at home. Mutt is getting the cones. We don't need Jake. Mm. He's so pointless. So, Jake, this one's for you.
Stop acting like a disgruntled pelican.
I get that reference now. I like the idea, though, that our like most disgruntled pelican at the end is we're just sending them off to go tackle the cones. Like, that's where they go.
You must go tackle the cones now. You have been banished to the cones. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. Perfect. All right. We did have a Moira wig this episode, which is very exciting.
Finally.
Like, it's been a minute. Yes. Yeah. So, as a reminder, we are on YouTube at Talkin' Shit if you want to look at Moira's wig as we talk about it, because it is currently up on the screen. This is, okay, so first of all, what is this pattern? Do you know what this is called? Houndstooth? Is that what it is?
Houndstooth, that's exactly what it is. And I know that because, again, another drag queen reference, Bob the Drag Queen, who went through a whole phase of only wearing this fabric. Yeah. Proper, like, serious town council suit. Accompanied with a kind of 90s grunge set of chains.
She went to Hot Topic for those. She was shopping in that Hot Topic, and she's like, while I'm picking up this black turtleneck, let me get me some chain wallets.
I mean, just a choice. Just a stunning choice that you wouldn't expect. And
well,
I think
Moira's favorite color is black, so.
Yes, it is indeed. And it's not award season, so, I mean, but she's still dressing up, so. Props to Moira. I think wig is, conservative kind of town councilor wig. I feel like she's
gonna
wearing.
It's giving Republican realtor.
Yes. She'll sell you a house and take away your rights.
That's exactly what it's giving. It's giving, this has 3 bed, 3 bath, and a huge yard for all of your blonde children.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I know, I've said this before. I prefer the more like blonde, bright, huge wigs on Moira to like this. Yeah. This looks like it could be someone's hairstyle. You know?
Yeah, it really could. Like, if this were to be her hair throughout the entire season, I don't think anyone would actually be surprised. But I don't think we've seen this one before. So, I mean, not sure, but
it's a new one. It's at least a new one. So that's our Moira wig this week, which at least we got one. You know, I can't be I can't be upset when we get one. And next up, of course, we are going to tier rank our episode. I've slotted in. I can't remember if this is correct. My notes from last week. Do you remember?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank God. Okay. So again, on YouTube, if you want to look at this full screen, opening night was in full bouquet. We now have the thruple. Do you have an instinct on where this belongs?
Perhaps controversial here. I'm going to say I thought last week's was about on a par with this. So I really didn't see too much between them. But for some reason, I'm kind of leaning towards Love That Jenny for me. I don't know why.
No, I feel similarly. I love the Moira and Alexa stuff. I feel like that is the highlight of the episode for me. But it's really not moving the ball forward. And I feel like we usually say like, okay, well, if it's not moving the plot forward, was it at least absolutely hysterical? Or did it have like really good emotional moments? There's like a teeny tiny nugget of an emotional moment, but I think it's average. Like, and that's not bad. I just think that it lands itself in average. I agree. Yeah. I think that's where it belongs.
Perfectly acceptable episode. Not a bad one. Not one I think I'm going to rush to go back and watch.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not one that you would be like, I need to rewatch that right now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, perfect. Love that journey.
Love that journey for me.
I'm never going to get used to those.
Yeah, can't help it. Okay, perfect. So that's our episode. Stuart, do you want to hear what next week's episode title is?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is an exciting one. It's called New Car.
Interesting. New car for who?
That's the question. And we will have a guest. Not only do we have a guest, but this person claimed this episode, I want to say, when we started talking shit. So like, this has been a long time coming, that Chappelle will be joining us to talk about New Car. I know he's thrilled. Specifically, this was an episode that I had in my mind there's like a couple of scenes that I was like, I cannot wait till Stuart gets to this, for reasons that will be extremely clear when you watch the episode.
Interesting.
It's going to be a fun one. I'm really excited. So yeah, that's next week's episode, New Car.
Looking forward to that.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else we've missed? I think we got everything.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah.
God, we're so good at this.
Just give us the award now, please. Don't forget to follow us on all social media at Talkin' Shit. Don't forget to leave 5-star reviews because I will read them. Don't think I won't. I'll do it. Make me. I'll do it. But yeah. I think that's about everything. You could find me at the Joe Sterling, Stuart at Stuart Drinks Tea. I don't have anything else new to plug, so I'm not gonna, because you know where I'm at and what I'm doing. Okay.
Wow.
This is my podcast, our podcast, and I said our. Okay. I know. I'm a Leo.
I do have something to plug.
Oh, what do you have to plug?
Recently, I was on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, talking about Drop Dead Gorgeous with you, Jess.
Of course you were. And I totally was going to plug that. Totally was going to do that. Yeah,
totally didn't forget.
So go check out that movie, because truly it is a movie I will watch again. It's absolutely insane. And the best
one. One of my favorites. And if you haven't watched it, please go and watch it. And then go listen to the podcast. Why not?
The podcast is equally
Shit 90 Shows a subscribe. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, until next week, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.